Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents One Night Stand After Another by Amanda Usen. Narrated by Amber O'Rourke. Chapter 1. Clara Duke reached the enormous door of Standing Room, the most popular pub-style restaurant in New York City, and stalled out, hard. There were several people behind her waiting for her to move forward, but she couldn't make her 4-inch heels carry her into the wedding reception. This is a mistake. I shouldn't have come. God, how am I going to get out of this? The simplest answer? She wasn't. There was no escape. No easy way out. She could only imagine how much it cost to host a wedding in New York, and she'd RSVP'd, yes. Plus, on the advice of her genius best friend, she'd spent several hundred bucks on great hair and a killer dress to make herself look bulletproof. She wasn't leaving until she did what she should have done 10 years ago. Find the groom and apologize for breaking his heart. Not that he cared anymore. A man like Jack wouldn't marry for anything except true love, so she assumed he'd recovered from her betrayal. But when she'd seen his name on the engraved wedding invitation, everything that was currently wrong with her life had become obvious and undeniable. Clearing the air with Jack would right the wrong that had sent her fleeing down the wrong path, and then finally free her to seek bliss with no lingering guilt. She hoped. It had seemed brilliantly simple when she checked the "will attend" box on the invitation, but it didn't feel simple now. It felt ridiculous. Of all the times she could have chosen to apologize, she'd decided this was the right one? His freaking wedding? Miss? Sorry, she threw breathlessly over her shoulder and forced herself through the short hallway toward the dining room, past leather benches, dark red walls, and framed photographs of iconic NYC landmarks, propelled by the impatience of those waiting behind her, if not her own resolve. Allow me. The man behind her took a quick step, grasped the glass door, and pulled it open. A blast of cheery noise greeted her from the dining room. Thank you. She gave him a rueful smile, but instead of the tight impatience she assumed she'd see in his expression, his warm brown eyes held flirtation. Well, that gave her confidence a boost. She swept into the dim room and veered left, seeking a place to get her bearings and pinpoint the location of the happy couple. An enormous bar lorded it over the center of the restaurant. Large circular booths filled the corners. It wasn't a huge space, but the high ceilings and gorgeous pendant lighting made it feel like it was. To her far left, French doors opened into a banquet room where she could see several carving stations and a table that held an intriguing number of condiments. To her right, another set of French doors framed a jaw-dropping display of desserts. Her breath sighed from her lungs, and her mouth watered. An entire room of desserts. An entire room of desserts. Okay, even if she talked to no one, hell, even if she failed in her quest and spent the rest of her life avoiding the things that would bring her true contentment, coming here would be worth it for an hour in that decadent room. Good gracious. Was that a chocolate fountain? If so, she bet it would be the good stuff, dark and delicious. You and me, later, she promised the incredible-looking display. Time spent with sugar would be all the sweeter after she talked to Jack. Not for the first time, Clara wondered why he hadn't chosen one of his family's restaurants for the reception venue. Maybe the bride's family had made the choice? That was traditional, she supposed, but a little odd concerning the Calabrese's name was synonymous with the best restaurants in NYC. She hadn't been able to stop herself from following Jack's career and cheering his triumph with his restaurant, Inferno. His new wife had been integral to that success. But Clara didn't remember reading anything about her having connections in the restaurant business. She tucked her phone out from her tiny clutch and Googled the name of this restaurant, even though she knew she was comforting herself with technology to avoid engaging with anyone at the party. She'd be social once she knew the specialties of the house. The webpage opened. Zane Brampton's standing room wows the Big Apple. Her heart stopped, and her burgeoning appetite vanished. This was Zane's restaurant? Her mind spun out in donuts, circling a central, horrifying possibility. Zane Brampton might be here tonight. She was ready to talk to Jack. She'd game-planned it, rehearsed it, gotten it down to a tight, 2-minute abject apology that wouldn't take time away from his celebration. But Zane? She wasn't wearing the right shoes for the solid kick in the nuts he deserved. She hadn't deliberately followed his career. Hell, she'd forbidden herself to seek him in any way ever again. She'd learned her lesson. But his high school rivalry with Jack had continued in the press when they entered the same field. No, she didn't follow Zane. But she did gobble up crumbs about his life as it related to Jack's success, and pretended she didn't. How had she missed this?
Relax. Breathe. Bulletproof, she reminded herself.
If she ran into Zane, he would see her at her best. Instantly, she flashed back to another night she'd been dressed to the nines, his hand tangled in her curls, his mouth on her neck. His thigh, never mind where his thigh had been. Don't think about that. Think about the guilt, the shame, the mistakes that had piled onto one another, compounding, creating a life she didn't recognize as her own. Think about 10 years of discontent that were her fault, no denying that painful truth, but had been kicked off by Zane's arrogance. Think about how all that would change tonight. The desire to bolt was staggering. She locked her knees, called up her text conversation with Brittany, and typed, Clara, I need better than bulletproof. Immediate bubbles popped up, thank God. Brittany,
try tequila.
Clara, the wedding reception is at Zane Brampton's restaurant. Brittany,
that's less than ideal, but don't you dare run and waste that incredible blowout.
Britt knew her so well. Clara wanted to be in her hotel room with a crochet hook in her hand and her latest project on her lap. Could she run in such high heels? She was about to find out. Clara, I can't do this. Before she could hit send, silky smooth fabric brushed her calf, and a bare arm hooked hers, trapping her.
Well, look what the cat dragged in. I've been dying to see if you'd actually show up.
Clara's gaze slid sideways, like ice cream melting off a cone, and landed on Lila, Jack's gorgeous new wife. She was gesturing down a hallway that looked like it must certainly lead to the only place Clara could hide in this joint, the ladies' room.
Shall we?
Lila asked.
Sure.
She couldn't say no to the bride, not when the woman had an iron grip and a slightly terrifying scowl on her face. Shoulder to shoulder, Lila hustled her down the hallway, the bustled skirt of her incredible gown bumping Clara's legs with every step. What was going on? She scrambled for something to say and settled on, Thank you for inviting me.
Funny, I didn't know I had.
Awkward.
But also just the reality check Clara needed. She could do this. She just needed a hot second to regroup. Old Clara would already be in an Uber. New Clara had a spine.
I am not running from my problems ever again.
Not even a bridezilla ambush.
You first, Clara said,
bending down to gather the train of the bridal gown and ease Lila through the doorway so that she wouldn't lose a single sequin or bead. The door shut behind them. Blessedly, they were alone. Clara sank down onto the fainting couch,
Appropriate that.
Lila hiked her hip onto the counter until she was half sitting and half leaning, opalescent fabric shimmering. Clara knew she was staring, but she'd been hiding in the very back corner of the church at the wedding, and she'd barely caught a glimpse of the bride. Lila's wavy, strawberry blonde hair was swept up into a gloriously simple twist. Her dress was so beautiful it hurt. Her makeup was flawless, emphasizing her bright blue, very curious eyes.
You didn't know I was coming? Clara asked, grimacing.
Lila crossed her arms and shook her head.
I knew you were coming because I got your RSVP, but I didn't invite you.
She leveled a look at Clara that made her feel seen down to the California raspberry polish on her toes.
Would you like to tell me why the hell my husband secretly invited his ex-girlfriend to our wedding, and then took off like a shot the second she walked through the door?
You owe me, Jack said. Get out of my kitchen.
Zane didn't look up from the caviar he was dolloping precisely on the top of each smoked salmon taco. The chaos of a kitchen in full swing surrounded him, but he'd carved out a space to have some fun.
Go be the groom. The groom who actually owes me quite a bit of money for closing my restaurant to the public for his wedding reception.
Jack ignored him and picked up a spoon, turning his skill to plating the next platter of hors d'oeuvres, probably trying to make them look better than Zane's, and succeeding. They'd put the past behind them and kindled a cautious friendship after Jack opened Inferno last year. But it always irritated Zane that everything was so damn easy for Jack.
Dude, seriously, get out.
Zane shot him an exasperated look.
You're supposed to be enjoying your big day.
At that, Jack laughed.
Oh, I am, but I'll be enjoying it even more when you join the party, trust me. Clara Duke just walked in, and you are in serious trouble. If you thought she looked good enough to steal 10 years ago...
What? He fumbled the spoon, slinging a mess of caviar onto the plate.
It was your idea to invite her, Jack added. Dude, I was drunk.
The bastard had taken his bourbon-soaked, off-the-cuff comment seriously.
Invite her to the wedding. Maybe I've still got a chance.
The rest was blurry, forgotten. But one thing was clear. Even after their ceasefire, Jack was still fucking with him. Zane tossed his spoon onto the table.
In vino veritas, Jack smirked. You poured your heart out. Kissing her was a shit thing to do to me back then, but we were stupid kids. I had no idea you felt that way about her. Still do from what you said 6 months ago after that distillery tour. So, get out there and make it happen, pal. Maybe you can actually close the deal this time.
Do not hit him. Even if you owe him a right cross or two for decking you at his graduation party. You are not in high school anymore. Jack was still talking, seemingly oblivious to Zane's spiking annoyance.
You are gonna die when you see her. I'd be jealous, except, well, Lila. Listen, pal, I know how it feels to fuck up and lose everything. I also know how it feels to get it back. I want that for you.
There was zero bullshit in Jack's gaze. He meant it. That only irritated Zane even more.
You have got to be fucking kidding me. I was drunk. I didn't mean it. Everyone has moved on. Clearly.
Jack's gaze dropped to Zane's clenched fist.
If you punch me, you'll have to deal with Lila.
Zane peeled his fingers apart and held them up in the air, fingers spread wide.
This is your wedding. I guarantee you Clara did not come here to see me. Maybe not, but does it matter? She's here. The woman you still dream about.
I don't remember saying that.
Even if it was true.
You did, repeatedly.
Jack cleaned up Zane's caviar mess and started another tray.
Are you going to let a little thing like 10 years cockblock you?
Maybe.
People changed in 10 years. Zane didn't expect to start where they'd left off, not after what he'd done. But at the very least, they could talk. He could tell her the truth.
He hadn't told Jack everything after the distillery tour. He remembered that much.
It wasn't his desire for Clara that haunted his dreams. Well, it wasn't only that. It was the devastated look in her eyes when he'd lied.
Fuck you.
Zane wiped his hands on a clean towel and left Jack plating the hors d'oeuvres for his own wedding, just as the smug bastard deserved.
You're welcome, Jack called after him.
Whatever. You're still an asshole.
He was not the hungry boy snatching at scraps from Jack's table anymore. Zane had built a name for himself, by himself. More than a name, an eclectic collection of NYC restaurant wonders. He was rich and should be happy, damn it. But nothing dulled his sharp urge to do more, be more. Still, he believed Jack was genuinely trying to do him a solid, which was why he paused at the kitchen door and turned.
Fine. Thank you.
Even if this blows up in my face and she slaps the shit out of me, I do appreciate the gesture.
He expected Jack to laugh or at least grin, but his old frenemy nodded, chill as fuck, and simply said,
Good luck. And come find me later, okay? A buddy of mine has an opportunity that might interest you.
Zane raised one eyebrow.
Why don't you want it?
Because I already have everything I need.
And Zane didn't. And the fact that Jack knew it burned.
You just have to rub it in, don't you? Old habits die hard, Jack shrugged. Just find me so I can introduce you. You need to move fast on this.
I'll think about it.
But he could already feel excitement stirring. Maybe that was his problem. He needed a new project. As Zane stepped out of the kitchen, he scanned the dining room, automatically checking the flow of his servers circulating drinks and hors d'oeuvres and the swiftness of his bussers clearing plates. He noted the happy buzz of the crowd and was relieved. He'd worked like a beast to make Jack and Lila's wedding reception perfect in every way. Truthfully, he'd put so much staff on this party, he didn't really need to be in the kitchen. His sous chef was more than capable of running the place in his absence, and she usually did. He unbuttoned the chef's coat he was wearing over his dress shirt and tie and slipped it off his shoulders. Then he hung it in the server station, retrieved his suit coat, and headed for the circular bar in the center of the room. Ned, Jack's older brother, best man, and indie folk sensation, blocked his path.
Have you seen Marie?
Sorry, no.
Ned moved on, and Zane wondered if there would be trouble tonight. All hell broke loose when the renegade of the Calabrese family came home. He hoped this time would be an exception.
What can I get you, chef?
Chet, his favorite bartender, asked.
I'd kill for a Manhattan.
Club soda with lime, he said aloud.
Better keep a clear head.
Jack had invited Clara. She was here. Shame was bright and scalding as he remembered Jack catching them at their graduation party, in the supply closet of his father's restaurant. Kissing. More than kissing. His hands had been places they'd had no business being during a first kiss, and it had been unforgettable. There had been something real between them. A spark returned. But under Jack's furious gaze, he'd failed her. He wouldn't fail again. Chapter 2. I have no idea why Jack invited me to your wedding,
Clara said honestly. Then what are you doing here?
Lila's smile was at odds with her blatant challenge.
When your RSVP came in, I filed it with the rest of them. There were a lot of people I didn't know on the list. I guess Jack didn't expect me to notice.
She rolled her eyes.
Anyway, I didn't ask him any questions. I asked his stepmother. She was very informative.
Lila's body language was as relaxed as it could be in a gown that looked like it had an unforgiving corset sewn into the bodice. From the way she had hustled her into the ladies' room, Clara had thought she was upset. But Lila didn't look in the least bit worried about why Jack had invited her. Instead, her blue eyes were curious. Relief filled Clara, instantly followed by regret. She hadn't given Lila's feelings a single thought when she hatched her plan.
I'm so sorry, Clara said. I should have called him, talked to you, done something that would make this less weird. I'm an avoider of the worst sort, and I came to apologize for something that happened 10 years ago. This is the absolute wrong place to do it, but I was afraid I'd let myself off the hook without a deadline and consequences. If I said yes on the RSVP, I knew I'd come.
She shook her head.
God, that sounds awful now. Jack's celebrating. He should be focused on you. What the hell was I thinking?
Lila's bright gaze narrowed, and she shrugged.
I can probably think of a few less awkward places to apologize. But let's not forget, Jack invited you. Out of the blue. Without mentioning it to me. Jack's a planner, so he's got a reason for doing it. And it isn't because he's still in love with you. So why?
Lila's confidence in Jack's love for her was so absolute. Clara's heart nearly turned inside out with envy.
What did it feel like to be so sure of something?
She sighed, crushed by doubt, before she recovered and took a deep, bolstering breath.
Time for the truth.
This very direct bride, whom she instantly liked, deserved no less.
I am truly happy for both of you. I wouldn't be here if that weren't true. Jack and I went to high school together. We dated our junior and senior years. I worked at Breeze, his dad's restaurant. We were friends more than anything, really, and we were planning to stay friends after graduation. We'd even talked about seeing other people. But that didn't mean it was okay to hook up with Zane at Jack's graduation party.
Lila blinked.
Her lashes were like 8 miles long, and they looked real. You hooked up with Zane?
Clara pressed both hands to her flaming cheeks.
In the supply closet at Breeze, she finished miserably.
Classic, Lila snorted.
This is gonna be good.
She pulled her phone from a hidden pocket in the voluminous skirt of her wedding dress and texted furiously for a second.
It wasn't great, Clara sighed. I thought Zane and I had this connection.
She stressed the last word with sarcasm, so Lila would know she was over it.
So over it.
But it was just a tragically acute case of teenage hormones, for me at least. I don't know what it was for him. Because when Jack found us, Zane acted like it was a big joke. A dare. Like he'd done it just to prove he could kiss Jack's girlfriend. I was humiliated. Lila's head tilted, her nose scrunched adorably.
What did Jack do?
Clara would never forget the look of ice-cold disappointment Jack had given her before he turned his fury on Zane. Yes, they were going to see other people. But she'd known, even when Zane kissed her and she'd felt things she hadn't known were possible, that Zane was off-limits.
Jack said, "How could you?" Then he punched him. Zane didn't even fight back. He just grinned and said, "Not her fault she couldn't resist me." Then Jack's stepmom walked in and started whisper screaming.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. What did you do after that?
Lila was transfixed, eyes wide. All she was missing was a bucket of popcorn. I didn't say a single word to either of them. Jack was taking another swing when I walked through the middle of the party, out the front door and into a cab. I think the Calabrese family had hired an entire fleet of them for the party. Then she'd made a snap decision that changed the course of her life. I'd won an incredible grant from a yarn company, she explained. Instead of staying in New York, working at Breeze and using the grant to learn more about crocheting, I decided to follow my mom's wishes, move to Buffalo with my aunt, and use it for the university there that had offered me a scholarship to their business management program. I left the day after the party, so I never had a chance to apologize to Jack in person. I texted him. Clara rolled her eyes heavenward to show she knew it was the absolute worst way to communicate such a thing. I never punched Zane in the throat for being an ass, either. And I never followed my dream of traveling and crocheting on the beach. You probably think I'm a coward. And if you do, just so you know, I agree with you. Lila shook her head.
Nope, I don't think you're a coward. In fact, I think you're kind of awesome for having the nerve to come to Jack's wedding, apologize, and wish him well. But I have to ask, crocheting? How did you go from crocheting to business school?
My concentration was in accounting. Numbers make sense to me. Kind of like stitches, but on paper, I guess. Everything has to line up and balance, and sometimes you have to get creative to make it happen.
I never would have made that connection, but I get it, Lila said. By the way, I've got some serious dirt on Jack that will make you feel better about your behavior, but I'll save it for another time.
A knock sounded on the door. Special delivery. What on earth? Clara asked.
Hang on.
Lila turned to the door, unlocked it, and opened it just enough to accept two full glasses of champagne. She handed one to Clara. How did you get champagne delivered to the ladies' room? She couldn't help but laugh, probably with relief, because confessing it all to Lila hadn't been that hard. She hadn't even used her well-rehearsed two-minute speech.
I have friends, Lila said. I'll introduce you to them later. Now I wish I'd asked Jack for details, because his side of the story has got to be fascinating, and Zane certainly has some explaining to do. But you're right, it probably isn't going to happen tonight. I'll get you 2 minutes with Jack for your apology, no problem. He deserves that, and so do you. But there are 300 other people here who also need our attention.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't keep you.
I dragged you in here, remember? I needed a minute to breathe.
Lila held up one finger and sipped her champagne.
And drink.
Damn, that's good.
Clara admired the minuscule bubbles in the pink champagne before she took a sip, too.
Dry, full-bodied, fruity heaven exploded on her tongue. So good. I needed that, thanks. Lila nodded.
Okay, here's what I know. Jack and Zane made peace last year, and when you walked in tonight, Jack made a beeline for the kitchen. Zane is in the kitchen. Something's going on. I know you came to talk to Jack, but I have a feeling you're going to have to deal with Zane. She grimaced. Maybe take him somewhere private for the throat punch. I think some paparazzi sneaked in.
Clara shook her head furiously, careful not to slosh her champagne. I'm not taking Zane anywhere. I'm apologizing to Jack, and then I'm going for a short dip in your incredible chocolate fountain. After that, I'm going back to the hotel. And crocheting. maybe finishing the loopy shawl her blog followers had been begging to see. Then packing for her...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?